have your Bible today, and again, how many people carry a Bible? Let me see your Bible. If you don't have a Bible, get you one. You say, well, I got my phone. I know you do, but it's hard to study a phone. I'm still old-fashioned enough to believe that you need a Bible. You can write in your Bible. It's a personal Bible. It's your Bible. And as the Holy Spirit of God inspires you while you're reading, somebody says, I can write notes. You may not write in your Bible. I've written all over mine because it's a study book. I'm on my way to heaven, and this is my roadmap, as I told the young people. And thank God that we have His Word today. Well, I want to share, if I was going to have a title for those girls upstairs today, I would have a title today, Joy Unspeakable and Full of Glory. Say that with me. Joy unspeakable and full of glory. In the book of 1 Peter, we've read quite a bit and studied quite a bit out of the first Peter and 2 Peter. And again, this week I was praying and asking the Lord to direct me. And over in the book of 1 Peter chapter 3, now I'm going to go as far as I feel like I need to today with this. And then when I feel like I've gotten to that point, we'll just shut her down and we'll go find us a hamburger or something. We'll come back tonight at 6. But it says here in the word, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to His abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Now somebody might say, well, preacher, what's all this joy about? Why is the church need this joy that you're talking about today? Why are you always so joyful? Why do we always need to be joyful? And where did this joy come from? You could read that verse, concentrate on joy today, and I've already preached you a message. Because when Peter was writing this, he gives us the foundation and encapsulates joy in this verse. 1 Peter again, chapter 1, he opens this again. He says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to His abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. I could stay on that verse the rest of the time because there's that much meat in that verse. But I must move on. To an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. There's the second part. Because God has promised us an inheritance that is beyond anything that we could think, imagine, we could even maybe conjure up in our own mind. God says that I have prepared an inheritance for you. Hey, we have joy today because we think about what joy means. Joy and happiness are totally two different things. If I had a stack of $100 bills up here on the platform today, and I don't, but if I did, if I gave everybody in the building a brand new crisp $100 bill, it would make you like Phil Robertson. It would make you happy, happy, happy. I mean, it would turn your crank. It would start your motor today. It would say, wow! Because it would give you some exuberance. It would give you something to rejoice about. But as soon as that $100 bill was gone, some of you would probably say, I wonder if he's going to do that again. Well, the next thing would be, it's gone and it's depleted. But see, joy's not that way. Because joy is an incorruptible thing that comes from God. In all reality, you can't really exhaust joy. It's not something that can be given to you on a debit card. It is not anything that can be really given to you even through great health. Although we do rejoice in that, and even though we are thankful for that, the way that Peter wrote this, that real genuine joy comes from God. Real genuine joy. Somebody said, well, preacher, I tell you what, I'd like to have what you're offering today. Well, I'll get into that later, and I'll also get into it tonight if you would like to come back to hear the message tonight at 6. But in this, Peter gives us the foundation of joy. Verse 4 again, he talks about an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled. And he says that fadeth not away. You remember the scripture, and you can leave that one up there for a minute. If you look back in John, I'm not going to take the time to turn there, but John chapter number 1, as Jesus is getting ready to depart the earth and he was prepping and priming his disciples for his departure, he said, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God. And he says, in a paraphrase of that, believe also in me, that in my Father's house are many mansions. And he said, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And in that sentence alone, it should give us the hope of an incorruptible home in heaven that fadeth not away. And then he says it's not defiled. We live in a sin-stricken world today. Don't have time to go down that route this morning. But he says that this particular home is reserved in heaven for you. And I pray to the good Lord above, that everybody under the sound of my voice and those that are listening online, I pray that you have made your preparation for that home in glory. And the only people that are going to go there are those that have made their calling and their election sure. Verse number 5, we look at this and he says of how that this joy that I want to talk about here, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in that last time. Look in verse number 6. He says, wherein we rejoice, though now for a season, in need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations. Now, let me go back and say that part of that again. Right now, you may not be able to understand the scope or understand the full view of what heaven has to offer. Because in writing this, he said, and this is my words, that we are tainted, if I can use that. We are tainted by sin, and we all live in a sin-filled world, and we are in a fallen state. No matter how saved we are today, there's not a person in this room today that is not still affected by sin in some way. But yet in this, we see that where Peter was writing, and he said, wherein you greatly rejoice now for a season, if need be, you are still in the heaviness through the manifold temptations. We rejoice, we're going to rejoice, and one of these days we'll have no tempter then, and there'll be a lot of reasons to rejoice when we get there. But for now, Peter says that we are still in these moments of what we would define, these moments that we would define as still temptations that try their best to destroy us and tear us down. But yet this next verse, verse number 7, he talks about this in the trial of your faith. The trial of your faith. Well, there's an old song that says if you never had a problem, you could finish that, couldn't you? You'd never know that God could solve them. And Peter was writing this, and he opens this up in verse number 7, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire. Anybody in the room ever been tried with fire? It sounds like that you've been through the valley of the shadow of death, but it was that psalm writing David and the harp playing David as David was writing, watching his sheep, that wrote the Psalm 23 that we did on Wednesday night. He said, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. We rejoice today, even though the trial of our faith, We understand that, hey, we're not alone, that God is for us and God is not against us. And I wanted to say that to everybody in the room today, that God is for you. God is not against you. And in this, again, Peter was writing this. He said, it's the trial of your faith being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and the honor and glory and at the appearing of Jesus Christ. Verse 8, whom having not seen, you love. In whom though now we see him not yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. Verse 9, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. Several things that we want to talk about here for just a few minutes of your time this morning. First of all, when we begin to look at this verse, that he talks about this in verse number 7. That the trial of your faith, being much more precious than gold, perisheth, though it be tried with fire. Now, what's the next part of this? This is the part that really I got a hold of, the part that really spoke to me. That the trial of your faith, being much more precious than gold, then he says, might be found unto praise. Now, what does that mean? That simply means that when you go through the fire, I thought about Jason Crabb and the girls that sing and those that sing on the platform that actually talk about that he'll bring you through the fire again. Now, let's be real. Let's be honest. Do you anybody feel like you've been through the fire? That's about 10 or 11 of you. The rest of you, God bless you. I mean, you're great. I mean, you know, never been through a thing in your life. But for those of us that's been through the fire, you've been tested. Let's try that again. How many of you feel like you've been through the fire at times? That's a whole lot better. Amen. I'm not throwing out pixie dust this morning. I'm not going to throw nothing at your Hershey. But my point is this, that we've all been through the fire of some kind. Your fire may not be my fire. What you've went through is not what I've went through. But when Peter was writing this, I love this because Peter talks about this fire, or excuse me, this trial of your faith, if you will, that's been much more precious than gold. That perisheth. And then he says that your faith is more precious than gold. When you're going through the fire, don't give up on faith. Don't give up on your confidence in God. But in this, the latter part, he said, that even though you've been through this, it might be found unto praise. In other words, this is what he's saying in a nutshell. Even though you are in the midst of a storm, even though you're going through the trials of your life, even though you feel like you're in the fire, even though your fire has almost seemingly at times destroyed you, so to speak, and again, the more fire, the hotter the fire you put the gold in, the purer it comes out on the other side. Man, God's not trying to destroy you. He's just trying to do a new work in your life. But in this, he says that it might be found unto praise. In other words, here's the mark of a real Christian. That when you go through the fire, you don't lose your faith. When you go through the fire, it's more precious than gold. When you keep your joy through the fire. And God, give us the joy of the Lord again in the church. If there's anything we need to be revitalized in the church, it's not a brand new program. It's not an old song or a new song or a choir or a praise team or this one or that one. The things I hear as a pastor. What we need is the joy of the Lord to be restored in the church one more time. But I'm going to tell you something, friend. You can walk through hell. You can walk through demons elbow deep. You can throw devils to the side. You can have all kinds of temptations. You can have all kinds of problems and all kinds of difficulties. But if you've got the joy of the Lord, my friend, none of those things will move you. None of them, because the joy of the Lord is your strength. You can't just know Him on the best day. You cannot just serve Him on your best day. Look at me. I'm not going to deny that it's not hard. I'm not going to be foolish to say that you're not going to struggle. But somewhere along the way, friend, you've got to have a settled resolution that you're going to serve God. If it's a bad Monday, He's still God. If it's a turbulent Tuesday, oh, you're still going to serve God. Oh, if it's a worrisome Wednesday, you're still going to serve Him. Again, turbulent Thursday, you're still going to serve Him. If Friday brings fear, you're still going to serve Him. If Saturday brings sadness, you're still going to serve Him. Oh, this is the day that the Lord hath made. Let me rejoice and be glad in it. Somebody says, well, does it take all that holler? No, it don't. But I'm going to tell you something, friend. Sometimes you just got to let her loose. Sometimes you need to just break out of your mold. You just got to break out of your old shell. You got to break out of that old status quo. And you've got to realize, hey, I'm a child of the King. I am God's child. Amen. And I have overcome, because Paul said in Romans, I'm not going to take the time to turn there, but in all of these things we are more than a conqueror. Am I looking at any conquerors today? Well, this is what he says. He said that even though I've been through the fire, might be found under praise. Let me break that down a little bit closer. That I will be found praising God. I will be found glorifying God. I will be found lifting up He who is worthy to be praised. You know, one version, I begin to look this up, and it says, this is what it says. And it says, you love Him even though you have never seen Him. Well, I've not seen Him in the physical, but I've seen Him in my mind. I know Him in my heart. He says, though you do not see Him, yet you trust Him. And even now you are happy with a glorious, inexpressible joy. When you look at this again in verse number 7, it talks about the trials of those Christians that suffered for the call of God or the cause of Christ. The frontliners, if you will. Well, that's interesting. The frontliners, if you will. I don't watch many military shows and things like that. I'd have to get somebody else to explain that. But Peter talks about this and even says, consider it not strange, all the fiery darts that are to try you. You say, well, the devil never bothers me. Well, you know what that means. He don't have to. He's already got you. But those that are frontliners, those that are making the difference for God. Now, this is a little greenology right here. The joy of the Lord is our strength. Joy is a fruit of the Spirit. Galatians 5:22 actually talks about that. It is something that happens in the life of a born-again believer. When the Holy Spirit saves you, Jesus saves you, and again, I want to try to be careful to get not too deep into this, but I want to stay where I'm at for a minute. He brings certain manifestations with Him when He comes into your heart when you get saved. you're no longer dominated and controlled by the things of the flesh and by the things of the old carnal man. Again, 2 Corinthians says, old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. When the Holy Spirit comes in, when the Holy Spirit saves our lives and He cleanses us up, look what He said, but the fruit of the Spirit is love. You're going to learn how to love people that are not like you. You're going to have to learn how to love people that's got a different opinion than you. What are we talking about? That's the only way you can keep your joy. You got to learn to love people that look different than you. You got to learn to love people that do things that you wouldn't do. I mean, it's a broad spectrum. But yet in the same regard, the Bible says that the Holy Spirit is going to be the one that's going to fill us with love. Not us, but He said the Holy Ghost is going to do this. But the second thing, He said He's going to fill you with joy. Joy. I remember reading in the Psalms, I think it's, you don't need to turn there. Psalm 30, I think along verse number 4, something like that. But He says these words, weeping may endure for the night, but joy comes in the morning. I thought about that. And I don't mean to be redundant. I don't mean to be repetitive. And I thought I'm not even going to mention this when I mentioned that song, that particular psalm. Anybody remember Mildred Maynard? She's sitting right back there where Betty Johnson's sitting years ago. I was preaching like a wild man one time and I said, hey, weeping may endure for the night, but joy comes in the morning. I was preaching to Mildred Maynard, wore a hat all the time, and she was a shouter. She's a Lumbee Indian. It's a beautiful person, wonderful cook, wonderful lady. And son, sister Maynard got to shouting. We used to shout in the Church of God. Remember back? People get happy and they'd jump up and they'd shout. People get happy and they'd say amen in the church years ago. They confirmed with you that, hey, amen. Amen means what? Let it be so. So be it. She got to shouting. You know, and this is not in my notes. You can go right on up there and leave. You can read them. I'll give you a copy of them. Joy is contagious. Joy is just as contagious as being an old sour root. Well, I'll leave that alone. We ain't got none of them around here. Here's the thing. What time is it? Here's the thing. I ain't even got out of the introduction. Honestly, I've not. Here's the thing. If people say they're filled with the Spirit, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, verse 23 finishes this up. And he says this in the Word. Meekness, which is humility, not arrogance, as Brother Chris said earlier. I mean, I'm confident in myself, but I don't have to be arrogant to prove that to somebody else. Temperance. You don't have a short fuse just to give somebody a piece of your mind. That'll rob you of your joy, friend. I said this years ago. Somebody said, well, I'm just going to give somebody a piece of my mind. I said, you better be careful what you give away because you may not have none left. You better be careful. Temperance. Long-suffering. These are the manifestations of the Spirit. And if I had time, I could go into another section of this that's unprepared as far as in front of me, and I could tell you the things that would steal your joy. And I don't have time and I don't have it prepared, but I will want to say this. And I ain't got no emails from nobody about this. I'm telling you, I haven't. Maybe it's an email from heaven. Nobody said anything about this, but I feel it in my spirit. I'll tell you something that'll kill your joy quicker than anything. Y'all ready for this? Jealousy. It's not in my notes. Nobody's talked to me about nothing about this. But if you're jealous of others and what others have and you don't have or any, and it ain't about what they have, but just a jealous spirit. Just jealousy. It will eat you at the core. You know what? When Peter was writing this, his focal point was simply upon Christ. We've seen that in the introductory scriptures as we talk about this. He says again, when you look at this in where he's written this, he talks about your faith, the trial of your faith. If I had time, I could talk about really three really quick things about the trial of your faith. So when you think about it, the trial of your faith is the truth about your faith. Truth of our faith. What is the truth of our faith? And when Peter was writing this, he began to write this a lot about the different ones throughout the scripture and the ones that had to have great faith. Faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. We talk about faith a lot throughout the scripture. The truth of your faith is not built upon what you think or what you understand or what we think we ought to do, because again, sometimes faith can be very superficial when we don't see the evidence of that faith. And if I had time, I would go back, and again, I'm trying to kind of hurry through this, but if I went back into the book of Genesis for a minute, and I really went through that, I'm actually going to turn there because I feel like this is what I need to do. When you look at this, there was a man by the name of Abraham that went through a great test. And in Abraham's test, Abraham was known as the father of the many nations, if you will, and God told him that his seed was going to be multiplied. But yet, he and Sarah were promised a child that God ended up telling Abraham, go and sacrifice that child on the altar. There's not a parent in this room that would get in line and say, oh yeah, I'll go do that. Let me go first. There's not a parent in this room, there's not a person in this room that would say, okay, let that be me. But yet we see that the trial of your faith is that Abraham had to have real faith in Christ. Now, why am I here? Because the scripture in 1 Peter says that is joy unspeakable and full of glory to follow after God. And real faith under fire is what's going to help you get through what you're going through. Are you with me today? Abraham had real faith, but real faith came under fire when you got to take Isaac, your son, and lay him on the altar. A lot of times we have to take our lives and we have to lay our lives on the altar for God, not knowing the outcome and not knowing the result of a decision that we have to make that God is leading us to make. And in this, real faith is truth. I was reading again where it says that thy word is truth. And the truth, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. It cannot be a superficial faith. And by that I mean the type of faith that's only going to do you on a good day. Abraham, again, when you look at this, and it says this in Genesis 22, it's over where God told Abraham to go and to sacrifice Isaac, and he took the wood and he took his son and he went to the bottom of the mountain and he showed him where to go. And then look at this scripture, and it said that they came to the place which God told him of, and Abraham built an altar there and laid the wood in order and bound Isaac his son and laid him on the altar of the wood. Verse 10, I don't have time to expound on all of this, but Abraham did what God told him to do. Faith. Real faith. Genuine faith. Is you and I doing what God has told us to do even in the face of the difficulties of life? It's a decision that I'm going to do what God's called me to do. And then again, it says that Abraham stretched forth his hand in verse number 10 and took a knife to slay his son. Verse 11, and the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, here am I. And he said, lay not thy hand upon the lad, neither do anything unto him. For now I know that thou fearest God. And a lot of times he talks about the trial. A lot of times the trial is a test. I dare say, and I believe this, that there are people under the sound of my voice, because I know how life is. Life is life. And I dare say that there's people under the sound of my voice. And the young people that's here for graduation and the young people that are here just on a regular basis, they go through trials. And your faith is going to be challenged. But yet our faith, we have to decide at that point, and we have to find the strength of our faith. Abraham had to believe God, even though he was under a lot of pressure. But he done the right thing. Pressure today, I've never in my life heard this. So many people, and I'm not belittling this. By no means am I belittling this. And I want to say that again. I am not belittling this. And then I've got to turn to find a scripture because I've really fought against this a little bit. But how do we overcome this thing today? Because everywhere you turn, people are under such anxiety. Everywhere you turn, it just seems like anxiety. People's nerves are about shot. And it's like you don't know what to do. We need to turn that thing back to Him. So the strength of faith is found when our faith is under fire through a trial. In the end of it, he says that in our text, that we will find that everything we do will be glory and honor and praise. In spite of the anxiety, I'm going to praise God. Let me turn there really quick as we get ready to do the last little bit. This is a scripture that I know that I really wasn't planning on turning to, but I thought about it so many times as I was preparing this. How do we find joy in anxiety? How do we do that? Because the Bible teaches us that we have to keep our minds on Him. Does not the Bible say that He keeps him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed upon thee? Amen. Does not the Scripture say that we bring every thought into captivity? Hey, the worst thing you can do is let your mind go wild without thinking. I mean, your mind is just out of control. And you think about all kinds of things, and the devil's feeding you, and you think about everybody hates you. You think about everybody's against you. You think about nobody likes you. And the real mark of a Christian is that when you can collect your thoughts, bring them thoughts together, and let this mind be in you that was also, that's the strength of faith, friend. That's the strength of what you say you believe. And don't misunderstand the preacher, but I'm going to say it anyway. I know what old-time preachers used to say. They would say words that I normally don't say. They would say words like, well, I'm going to serve God if a hair lifts hell. Yeah. I've heard that so many times in my youth growing up. I will serve God come hell or high water. I'm not saying hell in a cussing way, by the way. For those of you that's taking notes, and you need to look at the context of what I'm saying. But so many times we have to be intentional, deliberate about serving God, the strength of faith. Let me read this scripture to you that I've tried to run away from since yesterday. It's in the book of Philippians, if you turn there, right before we do the little last one. Philippians chapter number 4, this is what he says in verse 4. And Paul is saying, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, he reiterates and he emphasizes that, to rejoice. Now, y'all need to write that down somewhere on your hand. Lord, you caught me years ago writing a lot on my hand because I'd catch up something that hit me and I didn't have a paper and I'd just write them. Lord, he said, I see you writing on your hand again. Philippians 4:4. The next time you have a bad day, the next time you're going through a difficulty, the next time your faith is under fire, the next time you're dealing with something that you could very easily cuss over, you say, preacher, hey, I'm a human being. I know people get frustrated enough that they could say 4-letter words and 6-letter words and 75-letter words. That's a whole sentence of cussing. Don't! Boy, I'm getting them looks this morning. You got the keys, right? Okay. I'm trying to get you to a place that you understand that your praise can be greater than your problem. Woo! Sorry, little Pentecostal coming out of me there for a minute. Can we just praise God? Because all these things. Paul again, when Paul was writing, he said, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. The next several verses, real fast. Verse 5, as Jody comes, he said, let your moderation be known unto all men. Then he said, the Lord is at hand. Verse 6, be careful. In other words, consider it. He said, for nothing but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. In other words, don't let your life become overcome by your anxieties, but in everything be by prayer and supplication, thanksgiving. Look in verse 7. And the peace of God that passeth all understanding. That's the last thing I want to talk about, is the purity of faith. And again, if I had time, I'd go talk about several verses of scripture, but I'm not going to go there right now because of the time. But he talks about the purity of faith. So you got to have the truth of faith. I got to stand in truth. The strength of faith. When your faith is under fire, your life has still got to bring glory to God, or you collapse under the pressure. And then the third thing is the purity of faith. Understand that God's for you and not against you. And then he says, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Here's the nugget. Verse 8, Paul was writing, he said, well, at the end of the story, anyway, let me finish up like this. And Paul uses this word in the King James, and he says, finally, brethren. You got to think on these things. He says, whatsoever things are true. And that in and of itself is a part of the message, because you shall know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Hey, oh Jesus, help me, Holy Ghost. Just because a thought hits your mind, weigh that thought against the Word of God and truth. And don't jump to conclusions, and don't suppose before you know the truth. Because you're always going to live in confusion if you don't operate by the truth. Let's look at the truth. And then he says, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, there's the word, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are good, of a good report, if there be any virtue, strength, if there be any praise, think on these things. Now, in conclusion, I didn't exhaust the outline by no means, but I have to stop there. This is what he says as you stand with me. When Peter was writing this again in this text, in verse number 7, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, he says, that you will be found in praise. Now, this is a paraphrase of that. That you will be found in praise. That you will be found in honor. That you will be found in glory at the appearing of Jesus. Look in verse 8, and he says this again. Whom having not seen, the emphasis is on you've not seen God. You've not seen God, but yet you love God. He says here in the Word, he says, in whom, though now we see him not, yet I believe. I've not seen him yet, Brother Beckner. But I believe here after a while we're going to see his face. And we'll see him as he is. Desiree's verse this morning, there's laid up a crown of righteousness at the latter part of that. And he says, not for me only, but in all of them that love his appearing. Paul said, I forget about all the hardships, the beatings of my own countrymen, and I forget about everything that I ever went through for one reason. Friend, you'll never, ever, ever escape the trial. You'll never, ever escape the temptation. You'll never escape the spiritual warfare. I'm going to get Chris to make me a t-shirt. And you know what I'm going to put on it? Trust the process. I went out of town a couple of weeks ago, and I'd already had that on my mind, but as I was pondering, as I was sitting, everything you do, Brother Steve, is a process. It's a process. Trust the process. Let me say it like this real fast. For those of you that's wondering what's going on in your life right now, trust the process. Here's another nugget for you. Are you ready? Ready? He's the potter. I'm the clay. Be putty in his hand. Be clay in his hand. And Paul and Peter says, when we do this, we rejoice with joy. I can go through the trial, Sandra, and he's still Jesus. I can walk through the valley of the shadow that I fear no evil, but on my worst day, I still trust him. God is still faithful. Now, he said, you rejoice with joy. Joy comes from God. It comes from a relationship that's outlined in verses 3, 4, and 5. That's why Peter wrote this. He said, because I know the master of the sea. I know the author of the book. I know the author of the story. And let me just say this very gently in conclusion. I'm preaching something different tonight, not that same message, something different. As I told these young people on this stage this morning, I was very, 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 very blessed to be saved at a young age. I thank God for it. And I'm not talking and tooting my horn. I don't have a horn. I don't have nothing to toot, okay? I brag on Jesus. I don't brag on me. I brag on him. But you want to know how to live a life of peace, a life of joy, is trust in him. Don't trust in yourself. But if I trust in me, I'm going to mess it up. But trust in him. Put your faith in him. And I don't know how many times I can say that over and over and over. But you know what? We've been married September 42 years. We were saved a few years before we ever got married. So I would say, just guessing right off the top of my head, about 44 years, that's older than some in this building. Sherry and I have been saved serving God. And I'm going to tell you something, flat-footed, looking you in the eye, I never, not one time, ever regret serving God. I turned 62, my birthday in February. Some of you say, I knew you was getting old. Well, now you know. Now you know. But even at my age now, looking back to the time I was 22, that's 40 years, right? I started preaching when I was 22. 40 years. I've been doing this. 40 years. It seems like just a, you know, this year's July will be my 40th year preaching. No joke. Seriously. But you know what? I never regret it. I'd do it all over again. Sister Betty, on your worst day, he's still Jesus. He's still Lord. We miss Brother Hull dearly. But you know what? He's in heaven. Hey, I've been here long enough. I knew Larry. Sat right there. I could go around this room. But you know what, friend? They've made it. They have made it. I'm saying this and I'm done. The only joy you'll ever have is the joy that'll come from Jesus. Serve Him and serve Him well. Father, we love You today and we thank You, God, for this time that You've given us. Lord, it's not by might nor by power, but it is by Your Spirit. Father, I pray that in this room today that, God, people will grasp a hold of this message. That it's joy unspeakable and full of glory to serve You, Lord. That even though you go through the valley, even though you go through a trial, even though there's heartaches and difficulties, Lord, in Thee I trust. And Father, I pray, God, that You would just touch every person in this room. If you're here today and you've never been saved, if you're here today and you've never given your heart to Jesus, if you're here today and maybe you've grown cold, or maybe today you just need a prayer, we'll take the time to pray for you. We'll take the time to ask God to touch you today and to minister to you. Stretch your hands towards Josh this morning. We're going to pray for Josh that God would touch him, that God would strengthen him and help him in Jesus' name.